I like to watch interview shows on television. I used to watch Michael Parkinson, quite a lot. And I was delighted a few years ago when a show came on Netflix called My Next Guest Needs No Introduction. Some of you may have seen some of those episodes with, I've just forgotten his name. David Letterman, thank you. Jeffrey's heard my material before. And quite often when I watch these interviews, I like to then do my own research on the person who has been interviewed, which causes me to almost get obsessed with some of them. And now that Dave's here, he will probably back me up when I say I kind of became obsessed with Lewis Hamilton, the race car driver, a few years ago, and decided that I'd take on watching motor racing, which I've never done before in my life, because I saw an interview with Lewis Hamilton on this Netflix show. I was fascinated when he became a sir, which I didn't quite understand, but my reason really for following him was because my maiden name is Hamilton, so that's a good reason to jump on the bandwagon. But I tried to watch him in one race and I was so bored after about the second lap, and someone said they've got 1,000 laps to go, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is so boring, I'm turning it off. But anyway, one of the other people that Letterman interviewed one time was Melinda Gates, the former wife of Bill Gates. They separated last year. I'm sure that you would have seen that in the media. But as I listened to her answer questions and share some of who she is and what she stands for, I found that I aligned myself very much with what she said. Not all of it, but a lot of it. And since then, I read her book that she was actually promoting in this interview titled The Moment of Lift, in which she tells compelling and moving stories of her work and her travel and how when we lift others up, they lift us up too. But another thing that Melinda has said is this: deep human connection, the purpose and the result of a meaningful life, and it will inspire the most amazing acts of love, generosity, and humanity. In recent years, particularly throughout this pandemic, much has been written about connection, and about people longing for connection in what has also been described as a loneliness epidemic. As people have experienced lockdowns and isolation like never before. Deep human connection, the purpose and result of a meaningful life. I believe, as do many others, that in order to have a meaningful life, we need to connect deeply with other people. In fact, I would go as far as saying that humans are hardwired that way. Well, today we commence this new series on life groups. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at what life groups are, what's the purpose of them, and how you can each be involved in such a group if you're not already. We want to invite you to join us as we look at three key words: connect, grow, and serve. All elements not only of a life group, but of a worshipping faith community. And so today we start with connect. We heard just a few moments ago from Gordon as he shared with us from Acts chapter 2, a passage that's titled The Fellowship of Believers. And in this narrative, Luke, the author of Acts, is describing what is happening after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and rested on the people. And Luke gives us this beautiful little cameo, if you like, of the church. And we just heard these words that said, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together, with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all people. People meeting together in the temple court, sharing food in their homes, praising God and finding favour of all the people. Sounds quite perfect to me. For a few moments this morning, I just want to share with you briefly four characteristics of this early church. And some of these will be looked at in more depth over the next couple of weeks. But the first thing I want to say is that they were a learning church. In verse 42 of Acts 2, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were not stagnant in their faith. They kept learning and they kept growing. And we're going to look at more, we're going to look more at this next week. But I just want to say that learning is not passive, it's active. And we want to continue as followers of Jesus, we want to continue to grow in our understanding, in our knowledge, and in our wisdom. The second characteristic was that they were a loving church. They devoted themselves to the fellowship, it says. Now, I'm not Greek speaking, haven't even been to Greece, but the word fellowship is derived from the Greek word, I can't even speak English words today, let alone Greek words, Greek word koinonia. And koinonia can be defined as holding something in common. And it's used more than 20 times in the New Testament. It describes the unity of spirit that comes from Christians' shared beliefs, convictions, and behaviours. And when these shared values are in place, genuine biblical fellowship occurs. Because we're designed to connect with others and because of our shared beliefs, we are living out this idea of fellowship. And we need to do what we can to protect this fellowship and to remain connected to each other. It's not a very cheery thought for a Sunday morning, but make no mistake that Satan works to break this down. There is strength in numbers. And Satan will use what and who he can to destroy this idea of koinonia. The believers in Acts chapter 2 devoted themselves to the fellowship, to being connected in and by the Holy Spirit. And so I guess the question that I ask myself is, what am I doing to devote myself? Perhaps what are you doing to devote yourself in this way? The third thing was they were a worshiping church. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to prayer. The context of this breaking of bread could actually mean a few different things. One, it could mean that they were sharing together in the Lord's Supper. The second thing it could mean is that they were sharing just a common, regular meal with other people. Or it could be a combination of both. One of the best ways that I know to genuinely and quickly connect with others is over a meal together. A few weeks ago, I shared with the ladies in Ladies Fellowship about some of our Iranian friends, and I think I've said it from here before as well. We have friends from Iran who now live in Geelong and friends also who live in Adelaide, part of the cause where we were appointed to. And we are blessed in every sense of this word to call these people our friends. But you know, in order to get to that point in our relationship, we had to go deeper. And that started to happen for our family, not just for me or Dave, but for our children as well. As we welcomed them in to our home, we sat at the table, we shared a meal with them, we broke bread, if you like. And I believe that in this very act, in all these things that we did with these people, we were worshiping God. This is how we connect with people. But not only do we break bread together, as a worshiping church, we pray. We devote ourselves to praying. Not selfishly for our own wants and needs and desires, but for God's will to be done. To devote means, one definition, to give all or most of one's time or resources. And in this case, devoting ourselves to prayer. Give your everything to praying. The fourth and final thing that they were was an evangelistic church. It says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The Lord added daily. Daily. Can you imagine what that would be like? We're in this society at the moment where this doesn't happen. Church numbers around our country, in the Salvation Army, they're declining. Can you imagine if every single day somebody was added to our number? It's not by accident that this happened in this church in Acts 2. I believe it's because they were a learning, loving, worshipping community that their numbers grew. They were in genuine fellowship, experiencing deep connection because of Jesus, and more people wanted to be a part of it. All of these things emphasize together that they were truly connected. Connected to each other and connected to Jesus, all made possible by the Holy Spirit. These early Christians were intentional and very deliberate in the way they connected with each other. Well, Sarah and I believe wholeheartedly in life groups, in Bible study groups, in gathering together. And we're so committed to this that in our local mission plan, which is a requirement for us to complete under the direction of THQ, but for us more locally, it's with DHQ. This has been in for a few years now. We've included this statement, and what you see on the screen is from our plan, where it says to have 70% of average monthly Sunday worship attendees, that's you and me, being committed to discipleship group by December 2022. This could include a Bible study or a life group. We would like these groups to be creative in how they meet. We're not saying one model is going to fit all. We believe that we need more points of connection where people can form genuine relationships, where they can learn and grow together, share together, pray together, serve together, and have deeper human connection, do life together, hence the title, a life group. Almost 20 years ago now, I was asked to become the leader or facilitator of a small group at Box Hill Salvos in Melbourne. And I admit that I took on the responsibility of this group kind of reluctantly because I was a fairly new first-time mum. And the group that I was to look after was the university-age young adult women. So I was some, 10 to 12 years older than them. And to a degree, I even wondered whether I was going to be out of touch and not able to relate to them. But in hindsight, the reality was or is that being part of this group has been one of my greatest joys in ministry. I loved these young women so much. And I loved sharing life with them. And it was really a great gift. I could go on and tell you so many stories about how we loved and cared for and supported one another. There were times when they needed me and my then life experience as they navigated life, that teenage girls and maybe even early 20 girls do, you know, relationship breakdowns of boyfriends dumping them, problems with their parents. But then there was also times when I needed them, and I needed them to speak their other side of life to me. I did call them girls, even though they were young women. But, you know, They would drop almost anything for each other and for me if needed. We went to many birthdays, went to lots of their weddings, enrolled some of them as senior soldiers, took a couple of them away on holidays with us on Salvation Army camps that Dave and I went to interstate. They helped us with practical things on occasion. They looked after Noah and Josiah when he came along as well. We learnt much together about ourselves, about the scriptures, and about Jesus. We grew in knowledge and love, and we actually wanted to spend time together. We served together, not just in our faith community, but in the wider community. And I think of occasions when we were involved in a barbecue that happened in a local park in the city of Whitehorse, where Box Hill Selvos is, which was in a housing commission area. Or when a couple of these girls and I went and cleaned out the house of a young man whose mum and sister had previously died of a drug overdose. And you know what happened? We were meeting in the front lounge room of our house. And we were very happy there. That's what we called it, the front lounge room. And Dave used to watch TV with one of his mates who would come over every Thursday night in the family room of the house. And our numbers grew. And we had to kick Dave out of the family room, and he had to move to the other room so that we could fit in to the larger family room. These girls started to bring their friends, some of whom were only beginning to explore Christianity, some of whom had never really met Jesus. God added to our number. We were connecting deeply, and just these last few days, as I've considered this passage again, it's become apparent to me for the first time that the reason that this group grew as it did was because we did many of these things that the Acts 2 church did. And it wasn't because of who I was, it was because we were a fellowship of believers meeting together. We loved being in the same space, learning. We devoted ourselves to teaching, to fellowship, to prayer, and boy, could we eat together. Parramatta Selvos is a really welcoming community. We hear that frequently from people, and I can actually testify to that, having only been here for such a short time. But we want to go further than that. Some of you may be sitting here saying, I'm already part of a group. Might be part of the band or ladies' fellowship, the youth, young adults, going to come to craft next week, which is really exciting. And while all of these things are great and help us to build a stronger community and a welcoming space, life groups are different to this. Here are a couple of definitions that I read recently. Life groups are all about authentic biblical relationships. They are small groups of individuals or couples that meet on a regular basis to mutually encourage each other in Christ, no matter where you are in life or on your journey of faith. But this one is my favourite. Simply put, a life group is a group of friends, new and existing, who consistently get together with a purpose and are intentional about having spiritual conversations and following Christ. Life groups are an intentional discipleship group where we learn, love, grow in wisdom, knowledge, and number, where we worship, we pray, we serve. And I believe that they are a vital part of any healthy faith community. We're pleased that there are some really vibrant Bible study groups that already happen here at Parramatta. They're already in place, and there's the couple of groups, and I can see Marg Paw here, and I know Janet has a group as well, the ladies, and I know that they are growing rapidly. And we really want these groups to continue it's great. They care for each other. They love each other. But we want to see more of this. We're delighted that Annette Duncan has agreed. She signed up just a few weeks ago to coordinate this for us. And if you're interested in possibly hosting or facilitating a group, please contact her or Sarah or myself. We also believe that these groups don't necessarily need to be face-to-face and that there'll be options for online groups as well. Via Zoom, if you are technologically able to do that. So my challenge today really is an invitation. It's an invitation for you to be part of the 70% that we're aiming for, to get involved, to host, facilitate, to be a participant, or all of the above. We're going to have some forms available next week and in Parramatta's for you to express your interest. But we want you to pray about how you can be a part of this, how our connections can grow deeper, how we can have more connection points where we can invite people to be a part of, so that daily people are being added to our number. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Shall we pray? God, we thank you that you are in this place. We thank you for the example of a fellowship of believers that is set out by this church in Acts 2 and these early Christians. Lord, we want to be a fellowship that is modelled on this scripture. We want to be people who are learning and loving and who are worshipping and who are evangelising. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to this idea of being part of a group where we can study your word further, where we can have deeper human connection the way that you designed us to be. So, Lord, we thank you that your word still speaks, that it still challenges us. May we never give up meeting together, I pray in your precious name. Amen.